5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
When I had come down this hill, I had seen this creature cross the road. It would have ripped my locked door from my truck, extracted me from my vehicle, and there wouldn't have been a damn thing I could have done about it.
This thing, I got to notice in its eyes. Its eyes was real, real evil, real sinister. The look it was giving me.
What are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see ya!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
Welcome to Sasquatch Chronicles, a place where people share their encounters. Let's start the show. Welcome to the show, everyone. I just want to take a second. Thank you, Wes, for having me back on the show, and I'm excited to... It's been a while since I've been on, man, so I feel a little rusty, but we're going to go through it tonight and talk about some of the previous shows and kind of kick back and have a good time.
Cheers, man.
Yeah, cheers. Cheers to you too, man. This is, you guys have been doing a great job since I've been gone, and...
Well, you mean me.
Well, you. that's
what I meant, but... Yeah, we're going to go over some of the previous episodes, and we're just going to kind of kick back. So if you folks want to, you know, hang out, listen, this is going to be a good time. It's going to be just it's going to be fun.
Before we actually get started, why don't you tell the audience what you've been up to, and then I'll tell you my story from the dealership.
I can do that. My part's kind of boring, but
yeah, I haven't been up too much. You know, too much. I've been working a lot. Started a new job. Had a baby, starting to crawl now, so I've been busy, and that's why I haven't really been here.
And I apologize to you for kind of bouncing on you and bailing on the show, but let's do this.
My nephew Colin, he's a good looking kid. Makes me wonder if he's actually yours or not, but he's a pretty good looking kid.
Come on, guys. Yeah.
No, but I'm glad you're back for this episode. Mm-hmm. You know what's funny is you know what's funny is I was in the car dealership today, and I went into, this isn't Bigfoot related, but I went into the car dealership, the top part of my, you know, $100,000 Hummer.
Right.
the lights came off when I was on a road trip. And so I went into the dealership to see what it would cost to get that fixed. So I walk in, and there's this guy in there getting his car detailed. Mm-hmm. And I wish I wouldn't have told you the story. Just so you'd bust up while we're on air. But I go in there. I know you haven't seen the movie The Other Guys. Mm-hmm. But for the audience out there who has seen it, it totally reminded me of the movie The Other Guys, because there's a scene in there. Well, let me back up. So I'm talking to this guy at the counter, and I'm trying to figure out how much it's going to cost to get those lights fixed. And this guy comes in, and he got his car detailed. And there was like a... I don't remember what the price was. It was like a special they were running. And this guy walks in, and I'm overhearing the conversation. The guy's like, well, it's going to be a little bit more than the special. And the guy's like, well, what do you mean? He's like, let me tell you something about your car, fella. And he goes in there, and he's like, you know, I think an Indian restaurant was actually throwing their garbage into the back. Some schoolgirls, I think, had their periods for the first time in the back seat. And the guy's like, no, no, no. He's like, I don't want to hear this. And he's like, no, 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 you're going to hear it. He's like, I think that, he's like, I think that, you know, there was a letter in the back that said, thanks for the F shack from Dirty Mike and the Boys.
I want to stop and apologize for my brother's actions right at this point. What do you say? Anyway, go ahead now. Anyways.
But here's a clip from the movie. This is basically the conversation I was overhearing.
You find anything?
Yeah, we found a lot of stuff. Somebody took a carp and jammed it into the air filter.
Why?
We found a snake that killed himself. I believe there's an Indian restaurant that's dumping its garbage in the back seat as well. I'm not sure this is shit. We're going to run it down the lab and do some tests, but I'm 85% sure this is shit. Placenta blew out all over the back window there. Thought it was clam chowder. Wasn't clam chowder. Thought it was yogurt. Was not yogurt. What I'm pretty sure is an infestation of either pubic lice or chiggers. We looked it up in a book, but nobody could figure it out. There's shit on that, watch out. Some inner city girls came by and...
They don't need to go on.
No, I'm gonna tell you, they got their periods for the first time all over the back seat. Oh. They found your CD collection and they used it as toilet paper. Smell my fingers.
I'm not gonna just smell it. I'm not gonna do that.
What is that? Someone started a community garden in there, so that's a positive thing. Thanks for the F-Shack. Love Dirty Mike and the Boys.
So that's pretty much what happened. That's pretty much,
You're going to play the little F-Shack and all that.
That's pretty much how it went down.
This is for the F-Shack from Mike and the Boys.
Dirty Mike and the Boys.
Yeah, Dirty Mike and the Boys.
They're like, you're not getting the special. We had three employees quit over your vehicle, sir.
Oh, gosh. It went from a $199 special to, like, you know what? This car's freaking totaled, man.
Just turn it into your insurance company.
Yeah, just turn it into insurance.
You know, it's funny. I was posting on the website about you coming back for this episode. Mm-hmm. Jay Carlson, he said, that's great. The voice of reason returns. When the hell did you become the voice of reason?
I'm not quite sure. But hey, you know what? What was his name again?
Jay Carlson.
Jay Carlson. You're the man, dude.
Yeah.
You're the man. Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know where that quite came from, but I appreciate it.
Yeah. You're not the voice of reason.
Yeah. Not so much.
But I was asking people about their favorite episodes, and there were so many episodes. You know this from doing the show. People will ask us about certain episodes, and I'm like, did we do a show on that? You know what I mean? It's like, I don't remember. You're talking about what? Someone was on the show, and they said what?
Yeah.
I just can't remember all the different episodes. I just can't remember. There's a few that stand out, but...
Well, that's because you drink too much.
That might be it.
That could be it. That's an option. Yeah. No, but I know what you mean. There are a lot of people have said, oh, well, this is my favorite episode. I remember when you said this and I remember you said that. And you know, we have normal lives like normal people, you know, and, from day to day and we do the show I don't remember every episode either. As soon as they kind of mention it and give me a heads up, I remember the show and I remember what the feelings were on the show. So. I do take that to heart because a lot of, you know, we've had some pretty heated conversations on some of these shows.
Yeah.
And, I appreciate everybody's feedback, man. You know, they come back and tell us what their favorite ones were. They might not be my favorite ones. And, we've had some, a little bit of differences on some of the conversations that we've had and with, you know, some of the other hosts. But, anyways, yeah, you know, I mean, it is what it is. And I'm glad to be back.
Edit. Edit. Yeah, no, it's, you know, what's crazy is I remember when we first started doing this and how, you know, it used to drive me nuts. And a lot of the old shows, I don't even know, honestly, a lot of the older shows are starting to fall off. Like Blog Talk's kind of screwing me out of the, like episode 2, episode 3, episode
4. Archive thing.
Like the old archive, you know, back when you and I first started. And so it's hard to go back and try and dig those up because they're falling off an archive and I need to throw them up on a drive so that I don't lose them through Blog Talk. One of the things that used to drive me nuts, and actually makes me laugh now, but at the time it drove me nuts, is we would be doing a show. You know, the chat room? Mm-hmm. God, I hated the chat room. The chat room was like just a pain in the ass to deal with because people ask questions in the chat room. You're trying to have a conversation with someone over the phone. And I remember I'd go, well, what do you think, Woody? And I'd hear,
yeah.
And he'd look up and go, huh?
What? What are we doing?
But that's classic. You know, those are classic stuff that people remember on. I hate to say the
we
show.
We're just getting started, man.
Yeah, yeah, you know, absolutely. I mean,
what do you expect? We're trying to multitask, and I'm not a very good multitasker anyways.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was hard.
You're in charge of the chat. Yeah.
I was in charge of the chat, pretty much running the whole show. I did everything. You didn't do much.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. Just trying to get a grasp for after our encounter, trying to get an idea of what the hell's going on. Like, what the hell is this whole thing about?
Right.
And trying to hear different people's experiences. And we had a lot of crazy people on there in the beginning. I hate to say that, but I mean, there was a lot of people who, and I'm not going to name names, but I'm saying there was people that we had on where they're like, yeah, this is my 120th encounter and I feed them grapes every night. And I was like, what? You know what I mean? I was just like, what? You feed them grapes? And they're like, oh yeah, we gift. And I never got the gifting thing. I'm like, you guys exchange presents like it's Christmas? And like, oh yeah, we exchange presents. And it's almost like they would name them like Big Harry. Yeah. It's like you named him Big Harry, you know, and so it was trying to weed through some of the BS to try and get down to some of the meat and potatoes.
Well, we were still learning too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We were in the whole learning process. We were fairly new. We just had our encounter and we, you know, people that call in had several questions and you and I had equally as many questions because we were fairly new, but.
With zero answers for anyone.
We had zero answers. I don't even know why people are actually listening to our show even to this day, but I'm glad they did.
Yeah, you know, it was really fun when, you know, because the show's blown up to this crazy, its own monster.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, I always still think of this being like a small show. It's crazy because when it blows up, you have either people love you or they hate you. And there's just weird ego in the Bigfoot community. And I never understood the ego. I honestly never got the ego. A lot of these guys run around and they think they're curing cancer. And I've always, you know, I've tried to talk to some people in the Bigfoot community, not everyone, but you try and talk to some people in the Bigfoot community and I try and explain to them, hey, we're not curing cancer here, man. What's the deal with the ego? So it's weird because what the show's become, I don't think I really anticipated. It was really, really fun when we had like 20 listeners. You remember how fun it was when we had like 20 people that listened to the show and we knew all 20 listeners by first name.
Yeah.
And it was just a blast. It was just this. And now, and it's still a blast, but I'm saying it's harder to have that connection with the audience because, I mean, I could show you my email right now. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, I almost need like two or three people just answering emails. It's kind of crazy. You know what I mean? You have another drink there?
I was thinking about pouring one.
Well, let's do a little.
Want to do another cheers here?
Yeah. Why not?
That's good to see you, man. I miss you, bro. I really do. I miss you a lot.
I appreciate it.
We haven't spent a lot of time together. We've both been busy and kind of went separate ways there for a little bit, but it's good to see you.
Yeah. I appreciate it. That's the alcohol talking.
It is the alcohol. But
as soon as you sober up, you'll hate my guts again.
Yeah, I still hate you, but at least it's dulled at this point. No, but I understand, man. You know, it was kind of a whole different beast. It was a whole different beast when we kind of started. It was like, you know, it was on a more personal level. People called up. Not that it's not now. Not that it's not now, because, I mean, you do take I haven't been on the show, but you do take everybody's story in consideration. You talk to him about it and that's good, but it was a little bit different. It was on a small base, kind of a, you know how you have like a family based operation and then you have like freaking Costco.
Right.
You know what I mean? You have the small guy, little store down the street and then you have Costco and that was kind of the difference. And you know, it's kind of grown and that's a good thing. You know, we got more listeners, more people and I'm very appreciative of that. You know, not that I'm not. But it is. It's kind of hard to. There is a lot of crazies out there. It's hard to weed through it. You know what I mean? And I don't know. You guys have done such a good job since I've been gone. And honestly, I haven't listened to every show. I haven't had a chance to. But I am trying to catch up on a lot of the shows. And
there's more on the internet than just porn.
Not for me. Edit. No, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It has changed. Once you start and it becomes bigger, it's a whole different beast altogether. And I'm kind of glad to sit down with you tonight. I'm excited about it. And we're going to go over some of the past shows. And I feel a little bad because I've been so busy. I haven't really had a chance to keep up with y'all. But I'm sure we're going to cover some good stuff tonight.
Yeah, there's been some really good encounters that we've had. I wanted to go off some of the members on what they... Let's see if I can pull it up here.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Has your opinion from our encounter, and this might be a question a lot of people could ask you. I mean, if they could sit down and talk to Wes Germer right now, they might ask you this question, so I'm going to ask you this. You're kind of a celebrity, then.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either. But anyways, so the question would be, has your opinion changed from... Remember that night when we were out there and everything happened?
Yeah.
Has your opinion changed from what happened that night and whatever this thing, this creature is to today? Because you've talked to thousands of people. You've talked to thousands of people, more people than I have. And you and I haven't really sat down and talked about much about this topic lately because we've been so freaking busy, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about it today? What's changed from today, from day one when you and I had our encounter? I know I caught you off guard a little bit.
Let me take a sip of my drinker.
Yeah. Is it different?
I don't think that it's changed a whole lot. See, so when we first started the show, we had a lot of flute players on. A lot. And they would tell you, they would say it was the, and here's the thing that used to drive me nuts. We had these people on. And our listeners who have been listening to the show since day one will know what I'm talking about. People who are listening like the last year probably have no idea what I'm talking about. When we first started, my opinion of what these things were, it was a wild animal. Flat out, I thought these were a wild animal. I thought it was some form of primate. And I thought it was a primate, in my mind, that had the mentality of a chimpanzee. And people think of chimpanzees, you know, in little costumes dancing around at the circus and blah, 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 blah. And I know that's not the case. Chimpanzees are probably one of the most vicious primates you can come across. They'll rip your head off and not think twice about it if they're pissed, if you catch them in the right mood. And that was my impression of that night. An overgrown monster, giant. But my impression at the time was the way they acted reminded me of a chimpanzee. Very aggressive. Well, let me take that back. That night, I didn't know what we ran into. I really had no clue what we ran into. And I didn't have an explanation for what we ran into. I think that's why we called them monsters.
Yeah, because you did. Because we hadn't really followed this whole Bigfoot thing at all.
Yeah.
And so when we ran into that night, what is this?
It's like, what the hell is this?
Well, yeah. What the hell just happened?
My opinion of it really hasn't changed a whole lot. I still think we're dealing with a wild animal that's a primate out there running around. And I think that you and I were at the wrong place at the wrong time. Flat out, wrong place, wrong time. And what used to actually drive me nuts is a lot of these flute players who absolutely hate this show. I get hate mail on a daily basis from all of them. And some of the emails, I should read some of the emails tonight and make you laugh. I get some crazy emails. If you're not pissing someone off, you're probably not working hard enough in life.
You're not doing your job.
Right. And that's kind of how I take it. I take it with a very small grain of salt. If I'm not pissing someone off, and if someone out there isn't jealous, if someone out there doesn't have the ego, I'm probably not working hard enough at this. Yeah. And so you take it with a grain of salt. But what used to drive me nuts is they'd say, well, you and your brother must have done something to set them off. And I'm like, BS. We didn't do squat to set these things off. They came in on us. We didn't come in on them. Well, let me ask you this. What was your favorite episode? What was your favorite? Is there one episode that stands out in your mind? And if you don't have one that stands out, I'll tell you the one that stands out for me. But is there one episode that stands out?
I actually have a couple. I have two episodes. They were very, very early. When we started doing this, and it was just you and I. It was me, you, and Betsy.
Old Bets.
And, yeah, it was Bets. And, one of them is, I'm not sure, was it episode 3 when we told our encounter? God, I felt horrible for even asking.
I think it was
on there.
four, but we didn't number them at that time.
Okay. But anyways,
I think it was four.
We had, you know, when we told our encounter, we took some questions and it felt for me, it was really nice to get it out there and talk to other people. Not only was the show for people calling in and telling you stories, but it was a relief for me to talk to other people about the same topic. So right then and there, I felt better. It was warm, fuzzy. One of my favorite shows. Probably, and this is going to sound really bad.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple episodes when we really bashed on Rick Dyer.
Yeah.
I enjoyed those shows. Not very informational, but it was fun.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And a lot of those I try to stay away from now because when I listen to the show, and I hate listening to my own voice, I hate listening to, and you can relate to this, I absolutely hate listening to my own voice. Rick Dyer, you know how many drunken emails I got from that guy?
Oh, a lot.
A lot.
I saw some of them.
Yeah, I got a lot of drunken emails from him. But you know, the show's changed. Like, I really want to stay away. So here's where the show changed. We went from talking to researchers, because that's all who we... I'll tell everyone a secret about the show that probably no one else knows at this point. We couldn't get guests in the beginning. It was a struggle. And who we got was quote-unquote Bigfoot researchers. And I used to cringe. In the beginning of the show, we struggled to get people to come on the show. And the only ones that we could get to come on the show were Bigfoot researchers, of course, because, you know, any chance they get on the show, they'll jump on. And that's all we could get. It really wasn't until the modern episodes, till about episode 10. In fact, I remember the first guy that we had on that actually had a real encounter. It was episode 10. And it was a hunter. Remember, he was out hunting. He never really saw anything, but he heard vocalizations. He heard chatter. He heard, and I can play it for you in a second, but and that was the first guest we actually had on the show.
And, well, the car ended up being my brother, my girlfriend's brother-in-law. And, he was in camp with us initially Saturday and Sunday. He'd left Sunday. He had talked to Angela and, she told him what happened, and he had to come see for himself. And so he came into camp. I explained everything to him. And by now, I'm so exhausted. I'm tired. I haven't slept. And you know, the stress. And so I'm trying to get some sleep. I'm not hearing anything yet. And I remember Mike asking me, he says, what time did this happen last night? And I says, what time is it? I think he said 9:30 or something like that. And I said, and jokingly, I told him he's late. And I started dozing off. By that time, Mike shakes me again. Rock, did you hear this? Did you hear this? Listen. I'm listening, and you can hear movement down on the other side of the hairpin again. But now you're hearing what I called, at that time, I called it gibberish. They were chattering. It was talking. The other thing that was really peculiar about this is I was telling Wes that when this thing was talking, I'm not sure if it was, you heard a clicking sound, but I don't know if it was clicking from its tongue and cheek or if it was clicking like stones together, if that makes sense. And it would had an intense voice. It wasn't that it was overly loud or anything, but it was intense, a very strong voice, if that makes sense. I'm going to try to mimic a little bit of kind of what I was hearing. And it sounded almost like a, and with clicking going on while he was doing this. I thought it was like, another way I described it was like somebody speaking Russian backwards, if that made sense too.
Right.
And as soon as he stopped, another one would pipe off, right, about probably 20, 30 yards up from him. And he would respond to that. And then a third one would put in his two cents. And so we were semi-surrounded by these things. And they were just on the other side of the road. They couldn't have been no more than 30 yards from us. I imagine they were even closer. I'm just saying they couldn't have been any further than that. They seemed to stay stationary. Occasionally you'd hear stuff move around, but I didn't feel so threatened. It was intense. It was incredible to hear what I'm hearing. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Mike would, then it shut down, and Mike stayed, he was just awake, like, he was my sentry. I kept, you know, once it slowed down a little bit, I would doze off, and then Mike would wake me up again. You gotta hear this, you gotta hear this, and we'd listen to this stuff again. And this went on. There was at one point, Mike wanted to leave, he couldn't handle it anymore, and he wanted me to shoot warning shots to my tent. I thought, absolutely not, that's not gonna happen. I didn't feel threatened enough to shoot, but scared enough to where I didn't dare. And I don't know what's going on, and I don't know what this is. What if it's people? You know what I mean? I don't want to shoot somebody, and I don't know what I'm shooting at. I'm not pulling the trigger. After a while, he suggested we leave, and if he would hold the flashlight, we could, and I'd take the guns, and he'd get us to the car. And I thought, you know, I'm not leaving, Mike. I says, if they come across the road, you wake me up. Wake me up if you hear anything on that road or come across the road. Please wake me up. Then it's going to be a different story. But they never did. But they stayed there till almost daylight the next day.
And then from then on, it caused this domino effect of people that were willing to come forward and talk about it. But those early days, man, it was a struggle to get.
It was rough.
It was tough to get someone on the show.
It was rough because they weren't sure. Because you've had so many people that have gone on other shows that were shredded. They were taken apart. Why this? Why that? Where was this? You know? Where was the moon at the time that you were doing it? Did this happen? But anyways, you know, they were shredded apart. And you and I didn't really do that.
No.
You know, we soaked it in. Yeah. Soaked in the information. Took in the knowledge. And I think that's what made the difference, man. I really do.
You know, we had fun with things, like taking shots at Tom Biscardi when he was drunk on his show. And some of the early people remember the most interesting man.
Yeah, I do.
There is a new phenomenon going on in the Bigfoot world. It's called getting rigged. It's where you go on your own show, trashed, and act like a moron. There are four stages to getting ripped. Stage one, act like a fool.
His reputation is expanding faster than the universe. He once had an awkward moment just to see how it feels. He lives vicariously through himself. He is
Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
That's me! Turn me loose! It's our hour, brother, and we are ready to rock and roll! Hell yeah! I'm feeling good. How are you feeling, brother?
I'm feeling good there, Tommy. Sound like you've had a sip of wine.
Ooh. Isn't that beautiful? I gotta tell you guys, before you go to bed at night, have a little potty for the body, and before you know it, you'll be knocked out. And I'll tell you what, it'll cruise you through the night. It'll make you feel mellow, yellow, jello. Oh, baby. And that's the reason why, to make yourself feel good.
Stage two, anger.
Oh, they're saying that somebody now in the near future is going to get to see or find Bigfoot and bring it to the front because saying, hey, man, there's something to this because there's so many sightings around this country and the work that Dr. Ketchum is doing. You know, Melba Ketchum, if you had any decency about yourself, you'd return my samples and all the other samples that you've taken from people.
With stage two, the individual who is rigged is unable to take any sort of criticism. Example, Tom, you shouldn't binge drink. It's bad for your health, and you look like a fool.
I've been doing that for over 40 years. What else is new?
Stage three, incoherent. The individual who is rigged is unable to put together a coherent thought or spoken word.
And that, great. Remember, I don't know if you guys ever remember Friday. when that big guy, he got knocked the blank out.
Stage 4, pass out. Just a little commentary here. Melva Ketchum, will you... Wait just a second, everyone. I want to set the mood here. Melva Ketchum, will you please return the scat samples that Tom Biscardi sent you? He would like his scat returned to him. For the love of Christ, woman, you're driving him drinking.
And that wasn't meant to be mean-spirited. It was more or less fun. It was like, hey, Tom Biscardi, you got trashed on your show. We're going to poke fun at you because you were hammered on your show.
I'm not so sure everybody was upset about that.
Yeah, you know, with Tom Biscardi, though, he's an easy target. But it wasn't meant to be mean-spirited. It wasn't it was more or less meant to just make fun of the situation. It wasn't meant – there never once did I think, let's tear this guy apart.
Yeah.
It was more or less just for fun. Yeah, just, you know, fun. Here, you got hammered on your show. We're calling you out on it type thing. Looking back, those were some of the funniest moments. And I spent a lot of time on that stuff, man.
Hours.
I had no clue what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I spent so much time on that because I wanted the show to be entertaining. I wanted the show to be fun. And I think over time, I started to realize that people who have encounters, they're not looking for fun. They're not looking for funny. They want it to be serious, which I understand because, you know, like with our encounter, I wanted it to be, you know, it was serious. It was serious to us. Yeah. And so we started to back away from some of that stuff. And then we brought Will on. Boom, boom, boom. And, but I remember we had this guy on and I'll talk about other encounters. Did you ever hear the episode with Ray the Spaceman?
I didn't.
I'll play it for you in a second. But Ray the Spaceman, I love this guy. He is so convinced how he feels about... Well, here, I'll play an example for you.
Hey, Ray, it's Wes. I talked to you earlier.
Yeah.
Will, you on the line?
I'm here, yes.
Go ahead, Ray. Kind of explain to him the...
There are 10 species of Bigfoot here on Earth at this time. The smallest one is over in Australia, and they're about 3 foot tall, and they're crossed with the pygmies. And the white one is up in the Oriental area, highest up, and that's the white Bigfoot. We've got 5 here in the United States. We've got the skunk ape, which is way down south, southern border. And they got 3 toes, and they're the darkest colored and a little shorter than the others. And we got the ones that are crossed with the Koreans down at China Lake. And those won't go because they don't have implants. Then they've hauled some that have been killed back east to Montauk, and they've been crossed with the reptoids. And the reptoids, the ones that got scales all over their body, and there's 2 of them pictured on the bottom of the website on godsmessengersfromheaven.com. And then we've got the silverbacks. And another species, the Sasquatch. So there's about 5 different species here in the United States, and we've got a number of them up in Russia, and they've got pictures of them on the website in Russia. The only one that I've got a live picture of is Yaitu, and she's the one on Buff Creek that shot.
I'm curious. How did you come by this information?
I was seated here to open the door on the secrecy from the planet Meropia. Everybody else has either been killed, beat to death, or shot like Kennedy. We are the hybrids that are related, first generation, and our fathers are on Meropia, and our mothers are here on Earth. Originally, I came to Earth 540,000 years ago and built the Giza Pyramid, and my soulmate was the one that cut the blocks, and they were steaming hot when we put them in place.
Yeah, and you put them in place, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I was kind of curious. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
From the cutting table over to the pyramid installation, and I had 4 servobots that guided them down into place. And they were shielded, even though they were mechanical, they still had to be shielded because those rocks, if you can imagine what power it took to cut rock.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Half of the pyramid is underground. There's a crystal on the bottom and 500 feet up. They leveled off and then they came up to a point with the crystal on top. And there's a picture in the second book of it with the crystal on top. And then we built the Stonehenge and the Wall of Forever. And then we came over, which is now the United States, and built a round circle with holes around the edge. And that was the last part of it. And that was down in Florida. When Mark Bell was on, there was quite a to-do about some contractor wanting to tear that all up and put in a housing project. And Indians came in and put a stop to it.
They're actually on the moon and Mars. Well, they actually travel.
There's no Bigfoot on the moon. There's Bigfoot on Mars, Red Bigfoot, and there's Bigfoot in the Hollow Earth, and Red Bigfoot there. And there's about 1,700 on Mars. And there's 10 species of benevolent life on Mars at all times, and whenever the Bermuda Triangle operates, it sends a ship or plane or whatever up to the moon, and the humans are transferred from the moon over to Mars. And they're reconditioned. They have new brain, new eyes, and whatever else, and then they're transported back to whatever home world they fit into, either the Canadians in Liren or Moropia or Electrolia.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense. I know Will had a couple questions for you. Will, go ahead. Oh, maybe I lost him.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Her name was Leia. She was a princess with a Danish on each ear.
That was Ray the Spaceman. I'll tell you something about Ray the Spaceman. This guy actually believes what he's saying. I don't think for one moment he's lying about anything. But what cracked me up is it entertained me. I was sitting listening to this guy and I was like, wow, this guy is really insane. It's entertaining. Like, this is the craziest stuff I ever heard. And what's funny is Will dropped off the line. And I was like, hey, you got any more questions?
He's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, I pretty much think everything he was saying was 100% true, to be honest with you. I mean, I've been to Europia.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Verizon doesn't go all the way there and it dropped off and the call dropped off. But that's crazy. I mean, that just kind of shows, that goes to show you some of the stuff we go through on some of these calls, you know, and, a lot of the people a lot of the stories I take to heart, some of them, we get a lot of that too. So I don't think people really realize that, how much time is involved.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, for every person you hear on the show, I've talked to 10. Easy. Mm-hmm. I've talked to 10 people. And it's not as bad now because I think people realize that that's not really what the show's about.
Yeah.
So that's toned down a lot. But I just love that Ray guy, man. Like, I could not get enough of it. I was like, I could have sat there for 3 hours and just listened to this guy talk.
He was so serious about it.
Yeah, he was real serious.
He was dead serious. I think he could have passed the lie detector test, man.
Probably.
No. Yeah, that's actually, I'm sorry, that's the first time I ever heard that. And that's crazy. Will just dumped him, huh?
Yeah, he just hung up. He just had enough of it. But you know what? I liked it. I was like, you know, this guy entertains me. And
you should ask if you could visit sometime.
He lives in Gresham, which is just across the river.
Europia. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's been there for He's been here for 500,000 years or something like that.
Yeah, so, he built the pyramids.
Him and Jesus are probably really close.
Yeah. But I liked him. I actually liked him. I thought it was entertaining, and he listens to the show. So Ray, if you're listening, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as the shows go that are most memorable, let me pull up my notes here again. We'll go off of what listeners say. Oh, I guess we already answered it. Michael L., he wanted to know, I'd like a follow-up from both of you to your original encounter with any insights or observations you've gained over the 100 or so episodes, interviews, and 2 years of reflection. that's pretty much the gist of his question. And I think we already kind of answered that. Rich A says, oh, for crying out loud, this is so cool. The band is back together, even though it's just for one night. Zeppelin did it, and now you guys did it. I don't know if we're Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, we're not
Led Zeppelin. Looking forward to it. Oh, here's a good one. Papa Yeti. He said one of his favorite episodes is episode 90 with Bob Gimlin. That's a shame you weren't there for that one.
I wasn't there for that. Met Bob.
You want to tell the Bob Gimlin story? Because I tried to tell it.
I can.
And I almost edited the story to make it sound like it wasn't as bad as it was. Why don't you go ahead and tell the Bob Gimlin story about how we met Bob Gimlin at Beachfoot?
Okay, so Wes and I, we went to Beachfoot. You know, thank you everybody for inviting us to that. I appreciate that. It was our very first year, first time ever being there. Kind of like the celebrity Bigfoot world, you know what I mean? There was a lot of people there that were, I was kind of awestruck as far as the people that were there. And so Wes and I were just kind of sitting underneath the gazebo. Bob Gimlin walks by and we strike up a conversation with him. I'm not sure I think you probably did, you know, struck up a conversation with him. Actually, we didn't even really talk about Bigfoot right at first.
No.
Yeah, we were talking about his personal life and his wife and him and his horses and just a super cool guy. I mean, he's a class act as good as it gets. We're sitting underneath the gazebo. People are cooking dinner. We're just kind of kicking back. We're having some drinks. So we're sitting there and we're talking to Bob Gimlin and, actually I was talking to him first. That's what it was. I was talking to him first. Wes walks up and, you know, Wes is a big guy. I don't know if everybody realizes how big Wes is. You know, he's over 6 feet tall. He's 6'1". He's like 150 pounds. No, not really. He's more than that. But anyways, he's a big guy. Walks up. Hey, Bob, how you doing? How you doing, you son of a bitch? Good to see you, you know? Slaps him on the shoulder. And, you know, because Bob's kind of a good old guy. And I'm like, and Bob just finished a conversation with me after this. He was like, yeah, you know, I had my shoulder broken. He was kind of telling me about a time when he was laying on the floor bleeding to death, you know? And his wife had spoon-fed him for a while. Anyways, Wes walks up. He's like, how you doing? And Bob has this drink in his hand. It's actually a bottle of water. He wasn't drinking. It was water. And we're having this conversation, and I'm kind of looking at Wes, and I'm trying to give him the eye of, like, hey, will you quit slapping this guy around? He's recovering from a major shoulder injury. And he's like, yeah, and he's kind of waving his bottle around, and he's telling us about being kicked by a horse, and he told us all sorts of stories. And Wes is like, yeah, you're just a tough guy, tough SOB, whatever you said. Water bottle drops another like 6 inches. And I'm thinking, oh my God, how much longer is this shoulder going to hold up? You know what I mean? And I'm kind of like trying to give Wes the like, hey, knock it off, you know? And again, Wes is like, yeah, it's really good to see you. Wham, just smacks him, you know, in a friendly way. Water bottle drops a little bit. It's almost sitting on the counter, and it looks like he has no use of his arm anymore. And so, you know, and Bob keeps telling us about these other stories about being kicked by a horse, break his ribs. I think he broke his ribs.
Broke his back.
That's what it was. He laid in his back. He was on his back for a long time. And I mean, the guy sounds like he's broke every bone in his body. So he is a very tough dude. And he slaps him again, you know, and I'm just like, and we're having a conversation with him. Pretty soon the water bottle is pretty much, his arm is limp at this point. It's laying down. It was hilarious because I told Wes shortly after he paralyzed Bob.
Paralyzed. I physically assaulted him.
You know, I think this is probably like a domestic violence at this point. And I'm like, no, time out, you know, giving him the timeout signal. And I think Wes is like, let me get you a beer, you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, my God, here we go. And so, you know, Bob, he shrugged. Dude, believe it or not, he just shrugged that off, finished the conversation. He did ask for a beer right after that, though. I think it was the dole of pain, to be honest with you. So, class act, and Wes really didn't have, he really didn't know,
In my defense, Bob Gimlin's an old man.
Yeah.
But Bob Gimlin, when you meet him, you think this guy's invincible.
Yeah.
And I had no clue that he had busted his shoulder, but when you meet the guy, you see this old tough cowboy. And I, in my mind, I'm thinking, this probably isn't a man that I'd want to mess with. I realize the guy's in his 80s, but yeah. He is one tough SOB. And it wasn't meant to be like, and I told that on that show with Bob Gimlin.
You did.
And I'll tell you another thing about Bob Gimlin that put Bob Gimlin on a whole different level for me. Right after the whole incident with Will.
Yeah.
And I come back to a burning house. From Texas, and I have no clue what's going on. I literally had no clue what was going on. One of the first calls I got was from Shane Corson, mm-hmm. which meant the world to me. Mm-hmm. And Shane said, "Hey, I know everyone's out there bashing you. I want to let you know right off the bat, I'm not going to do that."
Who's Shane Corson? Just joking, buddy.
And that meant the world to me.
Yeah.
Because he's the only person who called me and said, "Hey, I think this is BS and I'm not going to play this game." And that really meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
The other guy was Bob Gimlin. And I got a call from him at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right after all this happened.
And Bob doesn't.
He doesn't talk on the phone, right?
No.
Yeah.
Bob doesn't do interviews.
No.
And, the story we should tell is about how we tried to get Bob Gimlin on the show one time.
I tried like hell to get him on the show.
Yeah.
I talked to his wife. I tried to talk to him.
You sweet-talked his wife.
I did, man, for a couple days straight. And I mean, good enough to where we had a pretty good relationship, but
no His Bob. Wife was sweet, yeah.
No Bob.
And Bob didn't want to do it. And what's interesting is right after this whole thing with Will happened, Bob Gimlin was the second phone call I got. Shane Corson was the first, but Bob Gimlin was the second. Yeah. And Bob Gimlin said to me, "Hey, all of this that's going on is all the same crap I went through with Roger Patterson. You get someone who has ego, you get someone, and it's just a cancer." And he gave me a lot of good advice off the air. And I won't go into it, but he gave me a lot of good advice off the air.
Right.
But what was interesting is Bob was so kind to me. He was so, it just meant the world to me, man.
Yeah. And he had your back on this.
And he asked me, he said, what can I do to help you? And I said, "Bob, I'd love to have you on the show." And he's like, "Well, I got to go out and feed my horses. How about if I call you back at 4 o'clock? And I was like, "Yeah, 4 o'clock.
This is a guy where he already rebroke his shoulder.
And
he's ready to call you up and say, "Hey, man, everything's going to be okay."
Yeah. I physically assaulted this guy. Yeah. But it meant the world to me. And then when he came on, I hate to say I was a little starstruck, but I was a little starstruck. I was like, man, what am I going to ask this guy that hasn't been asked before? This guy has told his story over and over and over again. And what was interesting was the backstory that Bob told. And Bob went on to talk about the stuff behind the scenes you never get to hear from, like Roger Patterson having someone fill in that said they were Bob Gimlin. So he could make a buck. And Bob never made a dime off that thing. And most people don't realize they call it the Patterson film.
Yeah.
They should call it the Gimlin film because that film would have never happened. It was Bob's gas, Bob's trucks, Bob's horses.
Bob's horses.
He paid for everything to get them down. He took time off work.
He guided them down in there.
Took them down there and it would have never happened without Bob. And when he talked, and here's another thing that drives me nuts. People talk about the Patterson-Gimlin film being fake. It doesn't make sense.
No.
And the reason why it doesn't make sense, if you listen to Bob, let's say they hoaxed Bob for a second, and everyone else was in on it except for Bob. Why do you give the guy who's not in on it the rifle? You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's
a good point. The last guy you want to give the rifle to who's not in on the joke.
That's a good point.
Or in on the hoax. You don't give him the rifle because he might just cap someone.
Yeah.
And if it is a suit and guy running across the sandbar in a suit and Bob Gimlin's not in on it, you don't give him the rifle because he might just pick this guy off.
And he's probably a pretty goddamn good shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he's a good shot.
Yeah.
probably some of the most memorable ones, and I'll get back to some of the comments on the website. The one that sticks out the most to me was the Siege of Honabi.
Mm.
Please have someone contact us. This is no hoax. Our brother is afraid for his family. This creature is getting bolder every time it returns. This thing is huge, walks upright, smells like musky urine, burned hair type odor. He repeatedly comes back in the early morning hours after midnight and harasses us right before dawn. It has on more than one occasion tried to enter the home. We don't know where to turn. Everyone thinks we're crazy when we mention it. Please, we don't know what to do, but I know that something needs to be done.
The message went on to explain that the family was having problems over the past 2 years with one or more nuisance animals that were prowling around outside the home at night. The animals were stealing deer meat from an outside shed. The situation had escalated when the animals tried to enter the home. At one point, the father went outside to confront the animal. He got a good look at one and took a shot. He claimed it was running back into the woods. Whatever it wasn't alone. The family could hear chattering and screaming from the hills when the prowler was near the home. The situation escalated as the brother started shooting from the porch at the creatures chattering on the hill.
I'll tell you a secret about the Siege of Honabi no one else knows. I almost didn't air it. It almost never happened. And the reason why it almost...
Why? Because I remember when you and I, you did the majority of it, but you and I were kind of working on that together.
Well, and the reason why I almost didn't air it... So I spent a lot of time on the phone with Mike Humphreys.
Yep.
I remember I called you and I was like, hey, I got this guy Mike Humphreys on the phone. And I was explaining the Siege of... I don't think you and I had ever heard of the Siege of Honabi. And as I was just talking to him, I realized really quick, this guy really knew what he was talking about. You know, before our show... Here's another thing about our show I'm proud of.
Yeah.
Before our show, no one ever talked about eyeshine. They'd talk about glowing red eyes, or they'd talk about glowing yellow eyes or glowing green eyes. And they talked about, people would talk about these things having like LCD lights, which never made sense to me. I've never seen another animal that had light eyes lit up like that running through the forest. And when I talked to Mike Humphreys, one of the things he said to me, And then it clicked right away. He said that it's not their eye shine and the color you get back is based on the light you hit them with.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he said that.
First time I ever heard of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, like, and it always threw me off because people would talk about, well, it had red eyes or, well, it had green eyes or, well, it had amber eyes. And no one ever had an explanation why their eyes were different colors. And one of the things he said to me that he figured out right away was if you hit them with a car light, like the headlamps of a car, it's going to come back red. If you hit them with the newer cars that have the different type of lights,
the blue or the white,
it's going to come back like a blue color or a yellow color in their eye shine. And he said he figured out really quick with the flashlights they were using, some flashlights that would come back red, like older flashlights, some of the newer mag lights, it would come back kind of an amber color. And so he figured out really quickly that it had nothing to do with the animal. It actually had to do with the light you were hitting with.
Right.
And that's one of the things that really stuck out with me. The other thing when I talked to him, because I talked to him for almost 4 hours on the phone, and I begged him to come on the show. Absolutely. I mean, I got sloppy, man. I was begging him to come on the show. And
you're slurping
up. Oh yeah. I was begging him to come on the show because I was like, you know, this guy has such good information. This guy has got, he had the hunting down, talking about them being ambush predators, and no one else was talking about that.
It was nailed. He had it nailed down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I talked to Mike Humphreys, he was like, hey man, they're ambush predators. What? And he goes, let me tell you something about the wood knocking. He goes, one will stand at the top of a trail and wood knock or create a disturbance to push the game down the trail. Once the Sasquatch or once the Sasquatch pushes the deer down the trail, they walk right into an ambush. And no one ever talked about that. But when he said that, it made sense to me.
Yeah, I remember that. It was like, it was one of the first, I don't know if it was one of the very first, but I will say it's one of the very first people that we talked to that everything he said made common sense.
Yeah.
You know, based on not only a hunting aspect, based on a Sasquatch aspect, based on the eye shine, based on everything he said. And when you put it all together in as a whole, as a story, you're like, oh my God, why haven't I seen this before?
Yeah.
And he was one of the very, I remember that. He was one of the very first guys that I was like, this is the real deal.
Yeah.
This is the real deal. You know, and we've talked to some of these so-called researchers before, and I never heard this good information, information that he had.
No.
You know, and that's really, I think, honestly, that was kind of a turning point in our show, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that was kind of a turning point from, like, we need to talk to people that are more, that not only, I mean, we weren't really big on, I'm sorry, I'm kind of jumping all over the place. We weren't really big on talking about just the researchers and the facts. We want to know what people think. Well, this is one of the first guys that came on the show, which was a real person, which had facts that blew the researchers away.
Yeah.
As far as I was concerned.
It's crazy too, because you see it all the time now. People are like, well, it all depends on the light you hit him with.
Yeah. And so, well, they're just regurgitating what he said.
right.
You know what I mean? And not only regurgitating, but it does happen. People are out there. They're doing their research and they're probably noticing it more. But really, you know what? He was one of the top guys that I remember that really kind of changed our focus on where we were going to go with the show.
Yeah.
So thank you, Mike.
I talked to this guy for almost 4 hours on the phone and I never once got a sense. That he was full of BS.
Never once. Now, in fact, I remember after we heard his, and this is a long time ago, man. This is quite a few years back. And I remember talking to him and I was like, this is for real. You know, and I was thinking about deer eye shine. I was thinking about, we've seen bear. You can go to cats, dogs, whatever. And they all were kind of that same yellow or the red eye shine. He had a whole different theory on it. And there was a reason why.
Yeah.
You know, he actually gave an explanation why, and it made sense.
Yeah, even the hunting, all the way down to the hunting. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, too, is when you read the BFRO report, he was begging for help from the BFRO. Begging. These guys were begging for help on just how to get rid of them.
I remember that. I do remember that.
Begging them for help. He was one of the first guys I ever heard say they shot one. And I believe him. I honestly believe that these guys shot one. I think they got to a point. I almost put you and I in the same. I could see you and I in the same situation of being harassed by these things and having and being like, enough. We're going to blast the next one we see. Enough. I've had enough of this crap.
That's flying, man.
That's flying. Let's blast this thing. It comes up to, it even comes close to the house. Let's blast the hell out of it. Yeah. And so I could relate to what he was saying with him and his brother. And then when he said that when they went out to retrieve the body, they got bum rushed by other Sasquatches that actually came out to get the body. And he's one of the first ones I ever heard say that. And now when I hear encounter stories, I had Lou on recently and he talked about how they shot one. Well, they shot one out in New Jersey. And we think of New Jersey, you think concrete jungle, but this is out in the, you know, forest area. They had shot one. And what was interesting is when you talk to them, they weren't sure what to do at that point after they shot it. He said it was about 9 feet tall and about 900 pounds. They didn't have a backhoe. They didn't have a crane. So they left it overnight. The next morning it was gone. It coincides perfect with what Mike says. Once you shoot one, they come and retrieve the dead one.
The body.
And I'll tell you another thing. I'm convinced they eat the dead.
Really?
I think they eat them.
So they're cannibals is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think they eat their dead. I really do.
I mean, I've heard that before.
I could be wrong.
That's the first time I've heard you say that.
I think they eat their dead. I really do.
Why?
I've always had that suspicion that they eat their dead.
Because I think you're so close to a race. I mean, I guess I just picture, like, me eating you. You die.
Yeah, these are wild animals, though, man.
Not that I want to eat you, brother.
Well, no, no. No, I had this guy on.
I mean, you're pretty hot.
No, I had this guy on one time, and he said to me,
I'm not so sure I buy that, but I don't know.
I have a hard time. I have a hard time with them. They bury their dead. I just don't. I think they eat them.
They put them out to sea, like out on fire. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't have an answer for that.
Yeah.
But anybody that eats a dead corpse, there's something wrong with that person or that thing.
I don't think these are people.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
I'm just questioning your thought process on this. That's all. I'm not saying you're wrong. I guess I don't understand that.
Let's just go with I'm right then.
Well, it's not. Okay, so tell me your theory on that. So they eat them.
Well, I've heard different encounters to where.
I mean, we fish and cows. I'm not real big on eating Sasquatch, but.
Yeah. No, I think that you'll see with a lot of chimps, they eat other primates, and they have no qualms about it. And I had a guy, it was Bobby Hamilton, he talked about this encounter story that he went out to meet with this hunter who actually shot one. The hunter said it stumbled out to the sandbar, and he was going to retrieve the body. And three or four other ones came out. One came out, smashed it in the neck, broke its neck. And then two or three others came out and tore it apart and started eating it.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't know. I mean,
I'm right, is what you're saying.
I think you're delusional, is what you are.
Yeah.
I mean, there's... I don't know what to say to that. I mean, you could be right, could be wrong. I mean, that could a whole bit... We could spend an hour on that topic just alone, but...
Right.
I mean, like, spiders lay eggs on... The female spiders lay eggs on male spiders, and that's their dinner when they wake up. I'm not so sure that these type of animals do that. I don't know what they do with their dead. I'm not sure if nature takes care of them.
Some right is what you're saying.
So they could put them in the river and watch them float out to sea. I don't know, but I can't agree with you on. I'm never going to agree that you're right because I just like to argue with you because anything. So I don't know,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah,
It's a good hypothesis, so.
Yeah.
So you're crazy, is what you're saying. I have a question for you, actually. When we very first started the show,
mm-hmm.
I'm very much more open-minded than you ever were.
Right.
So, I brought up the whole thing about paranormal. It sure seems like when Bigfoot's around, we see orbs, we see UFOs, unknown time travel, loss of time that happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Sasquatch is related to that, but it seems like they kind of coincide. One happens with the other and they're close as far as like when things happen. You know what I mean? And I had brought that up on a few shows, or some of our very first shows. Since the experience that you've gained and talking to, you've talked to numerous more people than I have. Has your view on any of that changed? I mean, for instance, okay, I talked to you last weekend.
Mm.
You came over to the house. We were having a quick discussion. Yeah, you and I were having a discussion, and you were telling me about orbs.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me to hear you talk about that back then, or I mean, just this last weekend, I was kind of shocked and awe. And I've kind of been left out of loop as far as where the shows have gone, what you've talked about. I've been busy, dude. You know what I mean? And where do you stand on that? What's your thoughts?
Here's what I think. You know, I watched this presentation up with Dr. J, who I think has gone way off the deep end. Yeah, go ahead and kick the mic there. That's fine. I'm sure the audience doesn't mind. Hope no one's wearing headphones.
You're a jerk.
So I
hey, let me point out all the mistakes that my brother makes while we're doing the show.
I honestly think that, well, I'll come back to the orbs for a second. I think when someone says, and this is my own personal opinion, but I think when, I'll give you an example. I had talked to this one guy one time who said that Sasquatch had broken into his home. And I'm like, what? Really? He's like, yeah, Sasquatch broke it. And it was actually in New York. It was in Whitehall, New York. And I said, what? Sasquatch broke into your home? Yep, Sasquatch broke into my home. So, well, tell me about that. Tell me what happened. So he starts going through the story. He lives on the upstairs. He heard his front door kick open. He heard the sink coming up the stairs. He wasn't armed. He grabbed a baseball bat. And as he came up the stairs, he was ready to pop the sink in the head. And then it disappeared. And when it disappeared, it started mind speaking to him. My comment right off the bat, okay, one of two things are going on here. Either A, he's crazy, which he didn't sound crazy, but either A, he's crazy, or B, he has some demonic activity going on. Flat out demonic activity going on. Because when you start lining up some of these paranormal stories about mind speaking, traveling through dimensions, on and on and on, you can almost parallel everything everyone's saying with people who are experiencing demonic activity in their home. Almost word for word. You can almost, it's parallel to what they're saying. Do I believe some of that stuff goes on? Absolutely, I believe it goes on. Do I think it's Sasquatch related? No, I don't. I don't believe it's Sasquatch related. And I don't buy into any of this crap where people say, well, I followed this track line and then it just disappeared. And they jump to this conclusion of either A, it traveled through
a wormhole.
Yeah, or an alien ship came down and picked it up. That's a huge jump. You and I saw these creatures. Jump clear easily 50 to 60 feet easy. So I could see where footprints would tend to disappear, but and it used to drive me nuts about Bill Lee. Like the guy, and I'm not saying this to bash him. I actually like Bill Lee as a person. I think he's a really nice guy. But he'd always say to me, well, Wes, what do you think about these tracks that just seem to disappear? I'd say, well,
I think it's a reach.
Give me an example of one disappearing. Well, he just heard it second or third hand about these tracks disappearing. And then he would say, well, what about an open field where there's no place for it to jump off and blah, 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 blah. Well, show me. Show me what you're talking about and I'll buy into it. But even then, it's a reach. Are we talking? You're saying an alien ship picked him up? I mean, you're just reaching for a strange explanation on when you really don't have an explanation for something like that. But when people start talking about these weird, you know, like cloaking, either A, it's a mental... Well, let me back up. I talked to a psychologist one time who's a huge fan of the show out of California. And she said to me, Wes, you know, when people, if you get a person on the phone that actually seems like they are a sane, and they have all their mental capacities and they're not crazy and they say they saw a Bigfoot cloak, she goes, let me explain the psychology behind that. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, there's a portion of your brain. She goes, have you ever been in a car accident and everything around you seems to slow down when you're in a car accident? I said, absolutely. I've been on my motorcycle. It's happened to me. I've been in a car accident. It's happened to me. She says, well, reality is not slowing down, but in your brain, everything's slowing down. Your brain's trying to process this traumatic event that you're in. And she said, when someone's, if you get someone on the phone, she goes, I think most of these people are crazy, but there's a small percentage. If they say, hey, I saw something cloak, she goes, there's a portion of your brain when you're in a traumatic event or you're terrified. She said, the brain will actually try to make the threat go away because you're freaking out at this point. So the brain tries to take away the threat. So when people say, well, was there 1 minute, then all of a sudden it's gone. It didn't actually disappear, but what your brain's trying to do is protect. It's a protective mechanism that your brain's kicking in. I don't buy into the fact that these creatures are jumping in and out of dimensions, jumping in and out of portals. I just don't.
So what's so different from the paranormal to the demonic realm? What's the difference?
There is none in my mind.
But you just said you believe that there is a certain portion that this is a demonic thing, but you don't believe in paranormal. I ain't trying to put you on the spot, but as a definition, what's the difference?
There isn't a difference. I think what people are experiencing, I'll give you an example. Dr. J talked about this portal opening up. And when he shined the flashlight on it, it closed. And then the guys would walk back up to this portal, it would open up, and there was these small little creatures with red eyes. And this portal would open up. The sky was red, blah, blah, blah. Let's just say for a moment, these guys experience that. Let's say it's true and these guys experience that. In my mind, that's demonic. There's something else going on there. And here's why I say that. Here's an animal that lives in the woods, craps in the woods, and vocalizes like a wild animal. If it had the technology to run portals, if it had the technology, why is it coming here and crapping in the woods? Why is it making primate type sounds running around the woods? Why is it twisting trees? Why is it, I know a lot of people think that this is a Nephilim. If you read a lot of the ancient scriptures, if you read a lot of the ancient writings from the Sumerians, they talk about these giants, they talk about Nephilim, they talk about, these weren't wild animals. They were advanced with technology, and they weren't beasts of the field. Sasquatch seems to be more a beast of the field. And people talk about, like, let's take banging on houses, for instance. Some people talk about these creatures coming up at night and banging on their houses. They have that same problem over in Asia. They have that same problem over with primates doing this exact same crap that Sasquatch is reported to do. There's an incident, I want to say it was in India, where this family was just terrorized by primates coming up, banging on the house at night, vocalizing, scaring the crap out of this family, and trying to get into the house, but they couldn't figure out how to open the doors, but they would shake the handles. So when you look at a lot of these same behaviors between Sasquatch and known primates, they're almost on the same parallel path of known primates. They do the same type of stuff. It's nothing new. Throw rocks. I posted a video the other day of a gorilla throwing a rock. This gorilla threw a rock like it was a pitcher for the Dodgers. I mean, the thing threw a rock like no one's business. But you see this animalistic type behavior. So I just have a hard time buying into the paranormal. Now, going back to the light question, the orbs. I started getting emails from hunters, hikers, people who aren't even into the Bigfoot world that would send me emails and say, hey, have you ever seen lights? I'd say, well, what do you mean lights? So they just start describing these lights they saw in the forest, little orbs flying around, seem to have direction, seem to have path, seem to be intelligently controlled, just randomly flying through the woods. I'm not talking about like orbs flying around in the sky. I'm talking about orbs flying through the forest. And I remember I asked Bob Garrett, I said, have you ever heard of anything like this? People keep asking me about these lights and I have no idea what they're talking about. Bob got real quiet and goes, let me show you something. So he pulls up a video that he took of this weird light flying through the forest. And it looked like it was lit up. It was a little bit bigger than a baseball, maybe a little bit smaller than a basketball, but about the size of baseball flying through the forest. I said, Bob, where did you get this from? And he said, there's an area out in East Texas called Lights. The locals call it Lights. Every night, these lights fly around the forest. And all the locals know about it. They just call them lights. If you want to go down and see the lights, you can go down and see the lights. And it's been going on for hundreds of years. I guess a guy from Japan came down to study them, and his conclusion was it was some sort of organism flying around. I just have a hard time buying into the paranormal stuff, man. I just have a really hard time. Now, do I think it goes on? Absolutely. Do I think it's Bigfoot related? No, I don't. I think it's two separate issues going on. So when someone says, hey, I saw a UFO and I saw a Bigfoot,
I don't think I don't think you're too far off on that. And my explanation of it has changed a lot from, I was very unsure, didn't know what to think. And the reason why I bring this up, because this is a pretty hot topic. A lot of people talk about that. You have paranormal shows, you have Bigfoot, Sasquatch shows that are related, and then you have shows that are kind of the two together. My thinking has changed. I don't believe that. I used to think, oh yeah, it's all paranormal. This is all crazy. This is all UFO related. But you know what? After talking to thousands or hundreds of people, you've done thousands. It's changed. The part that hasn't changed is, and I'm going to agree with you on this, I do believe it's two separate topics. You know what? I got a story for you.
I'll tell you what. Save your story for part two of this show. And in part two, we'll go into more about past episodes and kind of the evolution of Sasquatch Chronicles. Thanks, everyone, for being here tonight. Thanks, Wood, for being here. And we'll see you next time.